have a little bit of good news to report in regards to Debbie. I think she is managing her pain better with the medication adjustments and so forth. But she still has the problem, and hopefully we'll be able to address that this week. So we continue to solicit your prayers. We thank you for, she received several cards this week and phone calls, and she's enjoyed all of those, and we're very much appreciative of each and every one. This morning I want to talk to you about the Book of Life. It's an important subject, a comforting subject, a subject that we can rejoice in, indeed, if we are found in the Book of Life. It's a lesson that's not taught very often, but one that we should consider. Moses revealed that God was keeping a list. You remember that Moses went up onto the mount to receive the Ten Commandments, and when he came down, that Israel was already engaged in idol worship. They had made a golden calf, and Moses addressed that sin and in the camp, and then returned onto Mount Sinai, and the first thing he does is pray on behalf of Israel. We find this in Exodus 32, beginning with verse 30. It says, "It came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, 'You've committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin.' Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written.'" This is the first mention of this book and of this list. Moses was aware of it. He presents himself as a sacrifice. I don't know if he's acknowledging his maybe failure as a leader, that the people had so quickly returned to idolatry, and his taking on himself some of the responsibility for their sin. But nevertheless, he makes mention of this book that God has written. The inference is that it's a book of names. Blot me out of your book. What is on that list? Well, we turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 12. And here we read, "I saw the dead," John says, "small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." The books were opened. Speaking of the things that we have worked in our lives will be judged against the standard of what God, by His grace, has revealed in the books of the Bible. These books, the 66 books of the Bible, these books will be opened, and the dead will be judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. Verse 15 says that anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the 66 books are opened. The dead are judged according to the things that are written in the books. But another book is open as well. And in that book is contained the names of those who have turned from their sin to live for God, to bring glory to His name, by doing the things that are written in the books that God by His grace has revealed to us. Therefore, the book of life consists of the names of those who have been faithful in doing the will of God, which can only be known by reading the Word of God. So the question is, how do we get on that list? Well, there's a long explanation of that. We're going to look at the short explanation. But Jesus said to the apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to everyone who's been created. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Keep that thought in mind, and as we come over to Acts chapter 2, the first time that the gospel is preached, the gospel is the good news of a Savior has come, that the price for your sin has been paid. We recognize that the wages of sin is death, but it's not our death that pays the price for our sin. It's the death of Christ. He is, as Don read, he is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sin. He paid the price of death in his death, taking upon him our sin. He died to take our sins away. We are baptized for the remission of sins. Peter has proclaimed Jesus to be the Christ. He goes back and he shows, even going back to the prophecy of Joel, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All of Israel that would have been gathered here in Jerusalem this day of Pentecost are aware of that blessed prophecy, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The question is, who is the Lord? And Peter went on to prove to them that this Jesus of Nazareth, who you have crucified, is both Lord and Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed of God. He is Lord. He is the one that you are to appeal to. By his authority, you can have salvation. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He convinces them, convicts them of their sin, convinces them that Jesus indeed is Lord, the anointed of God, and they asked, what shall we do? The answer was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41 says, those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What shall we do? What has the Lord Jesus Christ told us that we are to do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 47 of Acts chapter 2 says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus is the Lord. What shall we do? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. 3,000 that day did so, and the Lord added them to the body of the saved. No longer lost, no longer bearing the guilt of their sin, but having their sin washed away, having their sins remitted, they had risen to walk in newness of life and continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And the Lord continued to add to the church every day those who were being saved in the same manner. Now, an interesting passage of Scripture is over here in Hebrews chapter 12, and verses 22 through 23. He says, and he's writing to Christians, he says, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all, to spirits of just men made perfect. men who have been justified, men who have been had their sins washed away, been made perfect by the blood of Christ and their obedience to God in Christ. Notice he says, these are registered in heaven, having been baptized for the remission of their sins. They are no longer aliens from God, but they are allies with God. They are members of the family of God, the body of the saved. Chapter 3 of Acts, in verse 19, we find where Peter says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Notice, your sins may be blotted out. What was baptism for? What did Peter say baptism was for? For the remission of sins. Not only are your sins taken away, they are blotted out. Nobody can read them anymore. God can't read them anymore. The Bible tells us that God, when He forgives us of our sins, He forgets our sins. They're blotted out. Be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Therefore, when we are converted, having believed and been baptized for the remission of our sin, God blots out our sin and registers our name in the book of life. But our name can be blotted out of the book of life. Our name can be removed. Just because it's put in there doesn't mean it's permanently put in there, that never to be removed again. No. The Bible goes on to tell us that having our name written in, that it can also be blotted out and forgotten. Moses asked that his name be blotted out of the book of life, of the list that God was keeping. Remember in Exodus 32 and verse 32. But what was God's answer? Verse 33 says, "The Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." Now, to have your name blotted out of the book means your name first had to be written into the book. Moses is acknowledging that his name is in the book. But he says, if you can't forgive the people, then don't forgive me either and blot my name out of the book. God says, Moses, you haven't sinned. Whoever sins against me, I will blot him out of my book. This agrees with Psalm 69 and verse 28. Where we read, "Let him be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous." So yes, our name can be blotted out. If we return to our sin, if we return to transgressing the will of God as it's revealed by God's grace in His Word, He can remove our name from this blessed book. If our name is blotted out, does God forget us? Does He give up on us? No. The answer is found in the parables that are found in Luke chapter 15. Jesus went, I believe, to great lengths to show us that God never gives up on us. That though we might be lost, He desires that we might be saved. If we had 100 sheep and lost one, would we forget about it? Is that insignificant to us? The good shepherd left the 99. To retrieve the one that was lost. If you had 10 valuable coins, if you had 10 gold coins, an ounce in weight, 99.9% pure, worth about $2,000 right now. If you had 10 of those and you lost one, would you say, well, I still got $8,000? I think you'd be looking for it, wouldn't you? And so the woman swept the house, looked in every corner, found what was lost and rejoiced. Luke 15 and verse 10, Jesus said, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents." Now, that's whether you've ever obeyed the gospel of Christ or and have never given your life to Him. There's joy in the presence of angels when you make the decision to turn from your sin and to live for Christ and live in His righteousness. And it's true also of the child of God whose name has been written into this book of life, but has made a mistake, has turned back to the world, as Andy was talking about this morning in our Bible class, fails to continue in the pathway of righteousness and the light of Christ, but repents, recognizes their sin, and turns back to Him. And Jesus goes on to give that example of the prodigal son, of the one who became just focused on the world and the things that he could see and thought that's what he needed to pursue. He left his father. He realized his state as he contemplated what he had done, and he repented and returned to his father. Our question is, what did the father do? The father received him with gladness. Jesus gave us this illustration to show us that God desires for our return to Him, that He will receive us with gladness, that once again He can blot out our sins and write in our name. Now the question for each of us is that we can know if our name is on this list or not. Have you been considering that as we've been going through these passages? Is my name on that list? Is my name in that book of life? You know, there might be a lot of lists that you want to find your name on, but there's no list more important than this one. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul said, "The time of my departure is at hand. My life is coming to a close. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to also all of those who love His appearing." How did he know a crown of righteousness was laid up for him? He says, "I have kept the faith." He didn't say, "I've kept my faith," or the faith of my ancestors. "I have kept the faith." That faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Do you believe that God is? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, our only hope of salvation? James said, "That's good. The demons also believe and tremble." It's not just believing that He is, but diligently seeking Him. The demons don't seek Him. The demons want to stay away from the judgment of God as long as they possibly can. They want to hide from God. What are you doing today, friend? Are you hiding from God? Are you hiding from yourself? Are you trying to hide from your sins? We were teasing one of the little boys this morning, who closed his eyes and put his head in the corner of the pew and thought he was hiding from us. We could all see him. Sometimes we do that. We close our eyes to our sin. We close our eyes to our spiritual condition. We don't want to confront ourselves. We're ashamed of what we see and our failure to make the turn to Him. We know that we're lost, and we think that because we don't want to see that, maybe God doesn't see us. Yes, He does. He says, I see you. I see you. And we need to see ourselves and diligently see Him. As we said, Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Paul said, I have kept the faith. That faith comes by hearing God's Word and from no place else. But having heard it, he kept it. James 1 and verse 22 says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Hearing His Word isn't faith. We need to be doers of His Word. Chapter 2 and verse 17 says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And then in James 2 and verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Not our works, but we are His workmanship, as Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. Prepared for good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Paul says, I have kept the faith, and I know that a crown of righteousness is laid up for me. Could he have also written, and I know that my name is in the Lamb's book of life? Yeah, could have said that. And you can know if you are keeping the faith. Acts chapter 10 and verse 35 plainly says, in every nation, whoever fears Him, reveres God, and works righteousness is accepted by Him. Where is righteousness revealed? Romans 1, 16 and 17. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. In it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith, God is the source of faith. He is the author of faith. He is the deliverer of the faith. To faith, we are the subjects of faith. We are to believe, trust, and obey Him. As it is written, the just, those who are justified, those just men made perfect, live by faith. Hearing God's word, which He has graciously revealed to us, and doing His will as it is revealed in His Word. So the question is, are you keeping the faith that comes by hearing the Word of God? Not necessarily the faith that you have heard, all faith comes by hearing. We need to examine what we have heard. Is it the Word of God? Is it the truth of God's Word? Am I practicing what God has revealed in His Word? Are you hearing God's Word and doing His will? Will you live for Jesus? When the roll is called up yonder, as we sometimes say, will your name be there? The roll will be called. You will be there, but will your name be heard? Is your name on that list? Have you kept the faith? Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Unless you repent, you will perish. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We come back to the one slide that we looked at earlier. This is a summation of this slide. What shall we do? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Those who gladly received His word, would you be among those today? Would you gladly receive His word, knowing that Jesus Christ is that Lord that can save you, and He is the only one that can save you? Will you be added to the church, the body of the saved, and have your name recorded among that church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven? The book of life. Is your name written there? And as you examine your life this morning, and you see that it is not, that can be changed today. Your sins, not just forgiven, but blotted out, never to be seen again. Your name written into this book of life. And from this day forward, walking by faith in the light of His word, practicing the righteousness that He has revealed to His praise and to His glory. If you're here as a child of God and you realize you're out of favor with God, you need to make things right with Him, let us pray with you and for you as we are instructed in James chapter 5. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?
Yeah.